Et j'ai appelé. Okay.
Okay, hold on. You can start.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for joining for today's Get Caffeinated program. I hope you brought your chai, your coffee, whatever you like to drink, because tonight we're going to be discussing Surah Kahf. I believe this is part three, inshallah. Just a few announcements before we get started. ISOC's virtual Ramadan banquet is tomorrow, Saturday, May 9th. With special guest speakers, Imam Siraj Wahaj, Imam Sohaib Webb, and Dr. Muzammil Siddiqui. We will also feature opportunities to interact with the community, including sharing photos and videos and raffle prizes donated by local businesses. You must attend the banquet to participate. This is a free event, welcome for everyone. Visit give.issmasjid.org to donate towards the banquet fundraiser. And we recommend viewing over YouTube and Facebook only, not Zoom. It will not be broadcasted on Zoom. So only YouTube and Facebook. Also, right after, we have our Qiyam hosted by our MYG and other youth groups, the Late Night Sheikh Show, What Really Matters, with an amazing lineup of speakers you don't want to miss out. You can win amazing prizes such as Shepherd's Meats, Shifa Honey, Paint Artistry, Kenefa Queens, and a Quran journal from Imagination Emporium. That will be raffled off throughout the program, so make sure you stay connected and alert. Again, please visit ramadan.issmasjid.org for complete details and our Zoom link. Okay, Sheikh Shad, whenever you're ready, inshallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ينفعنا وزدنا علما كريم يا رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله all of you are doing well on this 16th night in the month, this beautiful month of Ramadan. SubhanAllah, 15 days have passed, right? Half of Ramadan is gone. We're still getting caffeinated to stay up, alhamdulillah, at these times. So hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you have enjoyed the caffeinated program from the last 2 weeks. And alhamdulillah, we have more caffeine for you tonight, inshallah ta'ala. You all know that we're going over the 18th chapter of the Quran, Surah Kahf, and the multiple stories that are mentioned in there that alhamdulillah has so many beautiful lessons for us to take in. So the first week, if you guys recall, 2 weeks ago, we covered the Ashab al-Kahf, the people of the cave, which the surah speaks about, and that whole story kind of implements or depicts the trial of our deen, that there's going to be a test that we're going to be getting in our religion, where people will try to attack our religion, Islamophobia, you being the only Muslim in your school, should I pray, everyone's looking at me, right? And we see how these individuals, how they stood up for what was right, and I preach that they are proud Muslims and they're proud to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're not the strange ones in society. Last week, we spoke about the two men of the two friends or the two business partners, or some opinions that they're two brothers, and one of them had two gardens, basically had a big business going on. Another one spent his money on helping others in need, and therefore the other one was bragging to the other one that, look, all the stuff that I have, it's never going to go away. He's living lavishly. He got cars. He got everything. Right? He never thinks it's ever going to drop away from him. And so what happened? This is a test of wealth, right? Wealth will come and it will delude us, thinking that it's always going to be there. We're never going to be poor. We're never going to have to, you know, go to a food bank or anything like this. But all his wealth goes away, especially because he never thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that he was bragging and boasting about it, and he putting people down because the wealth made him arrogant. So that was a story from last week. This week is one of the highlights of the Surah Kahf. It's one story that's quite popular, many people know of, but it's always good to go over it and keep on benefiting as much as we can. And that is the story of Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and this interesting individual that he was appointed to meet, and his name was Khidr, or some people say Khadr. There's about 10 different ways you could pronounce his name according to the scholars, but we'll go with Khidr, so it'll be easier to say. Some people think it's Khadir, Anyway, that's fine. And so there's a great amount of stories, lessons to go over. And that's what we're going to be covering tonight, inshallah ta'ala. So where the story breaks down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Musa alayhi salam was appointed by was appointed to go meet this individual. So what's the background of the story? The background of the story is that one time, as mentioned in the tafsir books, that Musa alayhi salam was talking to Bani Israel, the children of Israel, and the Jews at the time. And he was telling them that, you know, someone asked them, what is who is the most knowledgeable person on the face of the earth? So Musa alayhi salam, he's a prophet, right? He gets knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all due respect, he said that I am, right? I am. And so what happened is that Musa alayhi salam didn't attribute his knowledge back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them some revelation telling him that there is another person that's more knowledgeable than you. And he said, someone more knowledgeable than me, then I have to meet them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, this person is in an area where two bodies of water meet, right? Two bodies of water, whether it's rivers or oceans. And he said, you will find that person there, right? And take a fish with you and put it in a basket. And when that fish becomes alive, it will go through a path and follow that path. I know you're probably saying, well, hold on, a fish coming alive out of a basket? Well, that's why some of the scholars said that if you want to hear strange stories, read the stories of Bani Israel, the children of Israel, or the Jews at the time, right? Read their stories. And the one thing, if you all read Surah Baqarah, the second chapter in the Quran, inshallah ta'ala, you're reading your Quran, you see there's very, some really interesting stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordains for them to slaughter a cow, a Baqarah. And they say, what color is the cow? This color, that color, it has spots and doesn't have spots on it. And, you know, they have to go search for a safra, a cow that is kind of like orange and light color, right? That has no spots on it. And cows usually have spots on it, right? That doesn't have to work. All really strange things, if you will, right? And another thing, there was a dead man. Allah subhanahu talks about how they had to take a piece of the cow and hit the dead man with it, and he became alive. And the man got up and said, this guy killed me. And then he dropped dead again, right? There's a lot of interesting stories when you talk about what Musa alayhi salam's people, what they went through. And this is nothing different, if you will. So what it's mentioned is here is that Musa alayhi salam sets out with his servant, his fata, right? And so with this young individual to go out and try to find this area where these two bodies of water meet. And it's mentioned in the tafsir books and also this beautiful hadith in Sahih Bukhari that goes over the whole story in a very long hadith about all the details of it. And this young individual, his name is Yusha. And Yusha ends up being one of the prophets of Bani Israel later on after Musa alayhi salam. A quiz question for you. If everyone gets this, I'll give you 50 points tonight. 50 points tonight. That is what, who is the grandfather of Yusha alayhi salam? And Yusha in English is Joshua, right? Some of you guys know the speaker, Yusha Evans. He came to the masjid a couple of times a long ago. May Allah bless him and reward him for the work he's doing. So who is a grandfather of Yusha? And if you're able to answer that, inshallah ta'ala, I'll give you 50 points, which you could redeem at your local Chuck E. Cheese. No, I don't know. I can't redeem it anywhere, but anyhow. You just pat yourself on the back 50 times, inshallah ta'ala. All right, so if you know that, alhamdulillah. So this is actually a grandson from a prophet. And so he will end up being a prophet himself, right? And so Musa alayhi salam takes him, and they get towards this area where two bodies of the area meet and said that there's going to be a sakhra, there's going to be a rock there. And so what happened, Musa alayhi salam falls asleep. And what happened when he wakes up, Yusha, who's holding this basket, he lays it down and he's waiting also, taking a rest, right? And one of the lessons we learn here is that Musa alayhi salam, he wants to learn, right? Our deen is about knowledge, right? Check out these books behind me, right? SubhanAllah. People took years to write these books. I used to look at when I was in Cairo in the book fair over there, look at how much these big sets of these books. I was telling myself, like, SubhanAllah, I don't even know if I'll ever be in my whole lifetime to even read, let's say, this one set right here, yet alone all of them. But there's scholars that wrote multiple sets like this in their life, SubhanAllah. And people were serious about their deen. And our deen is about knowledge, right? We really care about this world, so we care to learn as much as we can about this world and the hereafter so we'd be successful. And the first word that was revealed down to the Prophet ﷺ is Iqra, right? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And we have a sister here who's named after that sister, Iqra. That's amazing. Inshallah, she must read a lot, like tons of books or something like this, right? So anyhow, so Musa alayhi salam, he wants to seek that knowledge. And this is a big lesson to all of us, especially the young ones out there, is to go to people who are more knowledgeable and go and seek their teachings, right? And go to them. And not that they come to you. A lot of times these days, we have to beg people, come to the masjid, there's a class. I put a flyer, we'll have free food, there'll be free coffee, you know, just please attend, right? SubhanAllah, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's where people are saying, you know what, can you provide a class for me, the imam or the sheikh or the teacher, who it is? Can you please offer this? We want to learn. That's the way it's supposed to be. But anyhow, Musa alayhi salam, he wants to. So he's going to go travel, right, all the way this far distance just to meet this person named Khadir to try to get some knowledge from him. And so it's mentioned that Musa alayhi salam, like I said, falls asleep at this rock. And then he gets up and Yusha says, okay, let's go. And he leaves a basket in that area, right? And he takes off and they start walking. And they're going almost to nighttime, almost to the next morning, where Musa alayhi salam says, you know what? Give me the food that we have in our basket to eat. You know, that we might use some other foods in there. I'm feeling hungry. I'm feeling tired now. And then Yusha says, oh, I forgot the basket. I think I left it by that rock when we went to go to sleep. And only Shaitan made me forget that, right? And so, and if you look at that, subhanAllah, a couple things here, right? Is that number one, Musa alayhi salam doesn't get angry at Yusha, right? One thing, there's a hadith of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he says that that a Muslim is the one that has mercy to the young ones and give the respect to the elders, right? And look how the Prophet worded it, because the youth, they need our mercy, right? Us here, right? Alhamdulillah, it's an MYG program here, because they're going to make mistakes, right? And then we all know, we're youth, we always think that we know everything, because we know how to use Instagram and Facebook, and we know... I don't want to say TikTok, but anyhow, we know a bunch of different type of things here. We know technology really well. And, you know, we have the utmost updated things. And our parents are trying to figure out how to, you know, send a picture on WhatsApp, and they don't know that yet, right? So sometimes we think that we know more, right? And so here is that the Prophet, said that, that the one that's from me that has mercy to the youth. The youth is going to make some mistakes sometimes, because we think we know everything, right? And so what happened, we're going to try to answer things or do things, and we don't have that experience like the elders do. And that's what Prophet said, one who doesn't give that respect to the rights of the elders are not from me. So that the elders, they get that respect because of their age. They live life X amount more years than us. So they've seen sicknesses. They've seen people pass away from that's close to them. They've seen losing a job and gaining it back and, you know, financial issues, everything, right? So they have that, you know, life skills, if you will, right? And so Musa alayhi salam doesn't say anything to Yusha. And one thing is that Yusha obviously makes, you know, young individual, you think about, hold on, there's, Allah SWT told him there's a fish in the basket. When it comes alive, you will find out where Khidr is. So how could you forget that basket? That basket must be the most important basket for you on this journey. How do you place it down and just walk away? Like, how is that, right? And of course, youth sometimes, you know, we have those moments, right? Oh man, we're supposed to do this. And then the banquet's tomorrow. I was supposed to make this flyer. I was supposed to turn the Zoom on. I was supposed to put a live stream on. I fell asleep, I forgot to press the button, etc. Right? So it happens, right? So one thing is that we have mercy with our youth, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, the elders, we give them our respect, right? And so finally, they go back. They walk all the way back to the area right where the rock was. And they saw that the basket's empty. And the fish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that went in the water, saraba. Yani, saraba is very interesting. This is strange stories here. It went in the ocean and it swam away, ajaba, yani strangely, right? As Allah SWT says in the Quran, and to the point it made a saraba, it made a pathway in the water. Wherever it swam, it like the water moved away, and it was almost kind of like how when Musa alayhi salam parted the sea, right? It moved away and you could almost see like a tunnel. So when Musa alayhi salam came and they saw this, then they walked in the ocean and the same way the fish swam, and they're able to walk right through the ocean until they got to a jazira, where they got to an island. And there on the island, they saw a man wearing a cloak on his head, and that is Khidr. And Musa alayhi salam said, are you Khidr? He said, yes, who are you? He said, I am Musa ibn Imran. I am Musa, the prophet of for Bani Israel. And I heard you know some knowledge that Allah gave you that did not give me. Can I follow you? And look at the etiquettes, right? To go to a teacher, can I learn from you, right? You know, not teach me, you know, why are you late for, right? Come on, you know, Imam, come on, Sheikh, come on, Ustaz, right? No, like, can you teach me something that I don't know, right? The etiquette. Muslim Islam, he's a prophet, right? He could say, like, I'm the big prophet of Bani Israel. Yeah, you know, you should have came to me, but I had to come walk over to you, and you're on this island in the middle of the ocean, you know, like, you have to put some effort, man. Like, come on, why did you kind of, you know, come to me, right? No, you have the etiquettes here of learning from a teacher. And so he finally goes there, he says, yes, can I follow you? And then Khidr says something very interesting. He said, لَن تَسْتَتِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبَرًا. Just know something, that you will never have patience with me. Or what you're about to see, you don't have experience of what you're about to see, what I'm going to do on this journey. And Musa alayhi salam is like, no, I will have patience with you, I swear. Like, no, I'll follow you, right? He's like, no, you will not have patience with me. Right? I was kind of joking, you know, when people get married, I said, like, you know, the spouse should tell each other, لَن تَسْتِيَ مَعِيَ صَبَرًا. Like, you won't have patience with me. You really want to get married to me? I'm just letting you know, right? Because that's one thing you need in a marriage. I don't know if you want to marry someone that makes that statement to you, but anyhow, right? That's how the story plays out, right? But you have to have patience, right, in life. And you're going to see it exactly in these instances that does happen. So the first thing they go, he says, no, I'll have patience with you. Don't worry. That's like, I want to learn. I just want to learn. It's all good, right? Let's go. And so Hitler's like, okay, let's roll, okay? So they go, and the first thing that they meet is some masakin, some poor individuals. And these poor individuals have a boat, they're fishermen. And they come out and they see Khidr, they know Khidr, right? And they know who he was. So they, when Khidr said, can we hop a ride across the river? You know, do you mind? He said, yeah, we know who you are, right? You're a righteous person. They knew who he was. And it's mentioned from the tafsir scholars that the majority of the opinion of the scholars are that Khidr was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That he's a prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was sent at that time. And I know that especially in the Desi culture and background, there's some beliefs from the Indo-Pak area that people think that Khidr is still alive today. And he's like a wali Allah, that he's like, you know, very like a saint. And he hasn't died, and he comes and visits people. He wears like a green turban. I don't know if any of you guys have heard any of these things before, but no. Okay, he was a prophet at that time. He's not living right now. There's no evidence from Quran, Sunnah, or anything that will depict that he is still alive. So anyhow, so he said, yes, come with me. And they said, they met these fishermen. They knew Khidr very well. Like, yeah, hop on, let's go. It's all good, right? And so they go and they start going across the river there, or all the body of water. And what does Khidr start doing? He starts making a hole in the ship, right? When no one else is looking other than Musa alayhi salam, they're in the back there, and he starts making a hole. We all know if you put a hole in the ship, what's going to happen? It's going to spring a leak, and it's going to start sinking. But they do it in a way that they were able to come to the shore before it starts obviously sinking. Obviously, it has a leak in it. Water's coming into the boat. And Musa alayhi salam sees him doing that. He's like, what are you doing? Right? Like, well, you're going to ruin the people's boat. They're so kind to take us, and this is how you reward them. And so here is that he totally forgot his pact that he had with them. That he said that I'm going to have patience with you. Another thing Khidr said, that don't ask me about anything. That says Alni. Do not ask me about anything you're about to see on this journey. Don't ask me why, when, how. Don't, why are you doing this? Anything. Don't ask me any questions. Just witness everything, and then just kind of go along with it. Okay, you came here to learn from me, right? And so here, Musa alayhi salam, he agrees to it. But here he broke his first promise. And you know what? We can't say that, you know, we can't blame him, because he's putting a hole in the boat, and you think that a righteous person wouldn't do something like that. And so he says, didn't I tell you that you would not have patience with me? And didn't I tell you not ask me any questions? And then he says, no, I'm sorry. I will keep to my pack, right? My fault, my bad, right? That's okay. Okay, I won't do it again. I totally forgot this role. Okay, so they get off and they walk. Next thing they know, they find a young boy on the shores of the bank of that river where they were at. And Khidr takes this young boy and ends up killing him. Right? I don't know about you. I don't care what pack I made with Khidr, but you have to like time out. We're like, you know, this is something different here. Musa alayhi salam had to speak up. He's a prophet of Allah. If you see something wrong, he has to speak up about it. Right? That's what prophets do. And so once again, he said, did you kill someone, right? Right, that has, you know, Zakiyyah, he's very innocent. He hasn't done anything. He's a young boy. How can you do something like, you know, ridiculous, something that's a major, like, sin? Like, what are you doing? And Khidr's like, didn't I tell you? do not ask me of anything, and you will not have patience with me, right? And so here, once again, Muslim in the sense, like, yes, I forgot. Yeah, okay, my fault. I got you. I won't ask again, right? Even though that if you see someone getting killed like that, I think anybody would speak up. Then they follow along. They come into a city. And when they come into that city there, they're, what's the norm of people back in those times, and not too much this time, these days, unless you go out to certain countries, you know, in certain cultures that people still have, where they, when guests come in, that they would feed them and they will take care of them, right? They're like, they'll honor them. And so they came into a city, and there they're asking, you know, can we have some water? Can we have something to eat? Right? They're prophets of God, but guess what? They don't have palaces. They don't have all this gold and silver and decked out robes or everything, right? And a whole caravan, you know, rolling with them. No. They're simple, humble people, right? Thinking about the hereafter. And so they don't have food, and they don't have much money at all with them. And so they're asking just for some water or something, bread, something we eat. And what happened? About that they deny them. And so Musa alayhi salam, like, what kind of people, like, would not even, we're the guests in their town and they won't even give us anything? And then Khidr, he's not talking about that, right? What he does, he sees a wall that is kind of leaning over, right? It's about to fall down. And so he says, you know what? Why don't we try to resurrect it? Why don't we erect it up and make it nice and straight? So Musa alayhi salam's like, okay, we'll just go ahead after him. I'm not going to ask any questions or anything. Let's go ahead and do it. They're not very nice. They're pretty stingy people, right? I don't think they, you know, probably think they don't really deserve any khair or any good or anything. They finally put up that wall, and then Musa alayhi salam asks the question, you know, they're not giving us food. They're not giving us water. Maybe we could get some payment from them. We could buy food, you know, need to eat or hungry. And he said, why don't you take some ajr? Why don't you take some, ask them for some money for fixing this wall? And that, he said, hadha firaq bayni wa baynak. He said, this is the ending between me and you. This is the parting between me and you. And some of the scholars said that if Musa alayhi salam wouldn't have kept on asking questions or not have patience, he would have saw amazing things from Khidr. Who knows how the trip would have gone on and what he would have saw and what he would have learned. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained that this was it. Because Musa alayhi couldn't hold back. He had to ask once again. And so Khidr said, that's it. It's over. I'm going to tell you now the reasons, right, of what you just saw, what is that, what happened, and why did I do certain things? Of course, this is a million-dollar question, right? Musa alayhi salam, like, yes, this must be the knowledge that I didn't have. I would love to learn it. So then he talks about those of the going back to the first incident, the poor people with their boat. And he said, I made a hole in their boat because there was a tyrant king in that land. And he was going to come over and ghasba, yani, he was going to come and confiscate all the boats of the people, right? Because they can't defend themselves. He's the king. What are they going to do, right? And they're going to take all the boats, maybe for his navy or maybe for something, I don't know. And so he goes and he's saying that he's going to come and take all their boats. And so what I did, I wanted to make a blemish in it. I want to make a defect in it. So what, when the king comes, he's going to say, oh, I don't want this flimsy boat that has a hole in it. Let's go to the next one. And of course, we all know that it's easy to fix a hole in a boat. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I don't own a boat either. I don't know how to fix a hole in the boat. But anyhow, I would assume you go to Home Depot, you got some kind of putty and you put it and you fix it up anyhow. So they'll probably know how to fix it. So it's not like a major thing. Not like he burned the boat down, right? And so that is the reason why I did it. And here, there's a great amount of lessons here, right? What are we learning here is that Musa alayhi salam didn't know the reason. Oh, now I know. Oh, that was pretty smart, right? That you put a hole in it, the king's going to come, they're going to end up saving the boat. That's genius, right? That's perfect. But did the people in the boat, did they know that the king was going to come and steal the boat? No. Who had that knowledge? Ah, Khidr had that knowledge, right? And that's what Musa alayhi salam didn't have. And that's why I said the main story of this, all these stories here, is that Khidr, what Musa alayhi salam came to learn, that Khidr had the knowledge of, we call it ilm al-ghaib, the unseen, the reason why things happen. Why does that leaf fall down here? And why does that country have this issues? Why is the coronavirus going on right now? I don't know, right? Why at this time? Why in Ramadan? We can't go to our masjid, right? All of us are asking these questions. Same thing. Musa alayhi salam probably asking the same thing, right? And so here is this is the reason why I did it. And so there's a great lesson in it, is that, you know what? That something could happen between me and you, my dear brothers and sisters, right? Where, you know, we don't know why this happened. Why didn't I get into that college, right? Why didn't I get that job offer? Why did that sister turn me down for it? I met the parents, and then after that, they said no. Like, I thought that was my, that was her, or that was him, right? You know, why can't I get this car, right, et cetera. But the thing is that later on, it might be a month later, it might be a week later, right? But shortly after, we're like, oh, got it. Now I see, right? I think all of us had these moments before, right? We're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's the reason why. I think that's not, that makes much more sense. That's the reason why the teacher made us do all this homework. That we learned this information really well. Now it's helping me in this job here. Oh, helping me on the final exam here, right? But at the time, I didn't like it. So here is sometimes here that the king was going to come, just like, you know what, maybe a couple of days later, maybe a week later, and try to take the boat. So therefore, now it becomes apparent, becomes clear, oh, this is why it happens. So sometimes something might happen to us, and we will find out the reason in the near future of what actually happens. Another big lesson we can learn is your sadaqah. When you do something for somebody, right? Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless what you offered to free to someone else. These people were masakin. They were poor individuals. They had a boat, right? And they could have took money because they're in need, right? But they let Khidr come because of his rights. He was known to be righteous. So they said, hop on. We'll take you across, right? Because they used their boat, which is the only thing they had for to be generous with, Allah turned it back and made that be source of their protection. That, you know what, this is what you were generous with, this boat you have, right? Even though I'm making a small little boat, but it's actually a big boat, right? I could fit it in the camera, right? And so this boat that you have, right? Even though that this was your source of your generosity, because that's all you had, I will protect it for you. And when the king comes, he won't touch it, and you'll still have it. And that might be a money that you have, but if you have to lend a friend, or that ride home you give somebody, you're like, oh man, I got to go out my way and take another freeway to drop him home. You know, his mom or dad can't pick him up, right? You know, that I can have to go help this person out. Well, that might be the means from your generosity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually protects your car or protects your wealth, right? Because of you're being generous with it, especially the fundraisers tomorrow, right? I know we're youth. You know, this is for our parents. They're supposed to donate. No, you can hop on, right? A lot of you guys got debit cards. You guys got something. You got some PayPal. You got some Venmos. Right, you could drop $5, you could drop $10. And so your generosity might be, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect it even as you start moving up in your life, inshallah ta'ala. The next story that comes along, and inshallah ta'ala, we'll have some of our panelists here, some our MYG board members that are here with us tonight to hop on and to, inshallah ta'ala, get some dialogue about how they are affected by some of these verses here and these stories here, is the next of the killing of the young boy, right? And I know you're saying, like, hold on, killing of a young boy, like, that is just wrong. No one should kill young kids ever. I got you, right? But do young kids die in this world? Yeah, all the time. Fortunately, right? People have kids, and sometimes they're born with illnesses, or sometimes they catch something when they're small, right? And they end up passing away at age 2, 3, 4. Even the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's own son, Ibrahim, passed away when he was about a year and a half, right? And that really hurt the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It happens. And so this is depicting the same thing. Yeah, this is more like, it's like a case of murder. But here is that Musa's Khidr is trying to teach him a lesson. What could be the lesson of killing a young boy? Like, what can you really pull out from that? So Musa says something, what is the lesson here? Khidr says that this young boy, his parents were mu'mineen, they were two believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they loved their kids so much. I don't know if you guys ever seen parents when they have like one child or a couple of children, doesn't matter how many, they love their children so much. They'll like, the children does something wrong, like, oh no, it's okay if he, you know, marked everything, you know, wrote everywhere on the wall. It's all right, it's okay. Oh, it's okay if he took the, you know, starts yelling and screaming and, you know, whatever. Oh, that's my son. But if another kid does it, they're like all over them, right? They're already biased to their children and they'll do everything. They'll buy anything for their kids. Maybe use some. You are some of the spoiled kids out there. I don't know, right? And so here is that sometimes their love for children ends up making them that they sacrifice or they have double standards in the way that they do things. So Khidr said that their parents, the parents of the young boy, were believers in Allah. But because of their love for him, when he gets older, he's going to become a disbeliever. And he's going to do wrong and going to end up making his parents into disbelievers. Because what's going to happen is parents are going to start defending him. Oh, leave him alone. He wants to worship this. Oh, let the kid have his freedom. If you only know he's a big boy, you know, we love him. Our son can't do anything wrong. You know what I mean? Oh, did he steal that? Oh, it could have been a real some reason why he stole it. Maybe some kid dared him to do that. And next time they could probably defend him until they what? They lose their principles. They're not just anymore, right? And then they're now just following him and his ways, and now they leave their deen. Okay. And so Khidr said, this is the reason why I took his life, to save his parents who were already believers in Allah, and to give him something better. Allah will give him a son or another child that's better than this child. How would you know that? There's no way that anyone could even think about that. And today that's true. There's no way. No one should take someone's kid's life and saying, you know, I was doing it because, you know, inshallah will give a child better than the one that was killed. No, right? This is Khidr. He has special knowledge. He's the one that's doing this, right? And this is a lesson that he's teaching. And so Musa said, oh, okay, I didn't know, right? And so here, the big lesson that we learn here is that something in the dunya, children are part of the dunya, okay? That something in the dunya, some people love things so much that they end up ruining their deen, or ruining their religion, their iman, their faith, because they put so much attention into that. That could be money, right? That could be sometimes relationships with people, right? They know they're not supposed to do this, but they end up keep on talking to this girl or talking to this guy, and they know it's haram, but you know it, but she's so beautiful, right? And that's my chance, you know what I mean? I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to be the one, the religious one, and says, I don't know if we should be talking, you know, I don't know how halal is it. I don't want to use the halal word, and she's going to say, oh my gosh, you're so religious, right? So what happens, you want to keep that relationship, even though you know you may be doing something wrong. And so I want to have some of the board members chime in with the youth. This could be an issue here. So the question I wanted to ask is that from anyone here on the panel, we have Sister Nazneen, our president, MYG, our brother Salim, and the Zoom master that's also part of the board here, taking care of the live streams. Sister Ikra, I guess, and I think her sister Maha is also with her there. And so one thing is that we have Sister Ahlam, also Brother Ibrahim, is one thing is that we wanted to ask them is that, have you seen any youth where they so love something in the dunya so much that they end up compromising some of their Islamic values and to the point where they end up, you know, affecting their faith or anything like that? So I want to see if any of the panelists here, if you want to share a story where you have seen this and like, what are certain things that affect the youth so much where they kind of like their love for it ends up affecting their deen. So,
should I go?
You should go.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with like a general, like in general youth, not like a person's story, but I feel like for acceptance, like when you're in high school or when in our own environment, when we're surrounded by so many people that have like different beliefs than us and their practices are a lot different and our worlds are very different, like sometimes us as Muslims, like we tend to do the extreme just to get that acceptance from, you know, those people, and we end up like losing ourselves, we lose our identity, we try so hard to become these people that we end up just losing ourselves. And it's such like a temporary it's such a temporary feeling just to fit in. And in that temporary feeling, you just end up losing something forever, your identity, you know, as a Muslim. Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people sometimes do that on social media. You see them at the masjid, you see them like, oh, he's like very calm, you know, regular person, like, mashallah, mashallah. But then on social media, to get all the likes, you know, they're doing these dance challenges, you're like, but you're a sister, maybe you shouldn't be doing that on camera or something like that. Or they're doing things that you wouldn't think they were doing, or not just a sister, some brother sometimes, right? But they're getting that attention and maybe they're compromising or maybe on their modesty a bit or other things, right? So maybe that's something you're kind of alluding to. Yes, that's very true. Popular, getting the acceptance of the society or friends. So that's definitely something cool. Anyone else, the Mukhlises or Brother Salem or Brother Ibrahim or Sister Ahlam, that you've seen youth do anything like, you know, where they actually sell out their deen for some love of the dunya here?
Yeah, I want to share something. I'm going to go on, everyone. I see this a lot on Instagram where, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. where you have like those influencers, and it can be a young influencer that, you know, sister that wears the hijab, and then all of a sudden she has all these followers, and then she takes it off, and then she gives the excuse like, oh, I'm still figuring it out. And even if it is, all these followers are seeing her, and in the comments you see those, oh, you're so beautiful, you look so much better, like, good for you, this is you, nobody should judge you. And it's like, okay, well, now I want to unfollow her because I don't want to be feeling that way as well.
Very, very good. Yeah, social media is a big thing. And the thing is also, if you do follow her and then what happens, you start getting thoughts. Like, hold on, like, maybe I could likes like this, even though you might not be that type of person, but it's natural, right? Because popularity, everyone wants to be popular. No one wants to be a person with one friend. So this is something, yeah, people kind of change. People have a whole different life on social media sometimes, right? You're like, oh, that's you. Oh, wow. I knew you for so many years. I didn't know you do that. You did that type of stuff. But anyhow, okay, cool. That's good. Anyone else want to add anything? I'm going to give a last chance here to the Mukhlises or the Majus. Crow, go ahead. Are you going to say something, Crow or Maha?
Repeat the question, please.
The question is, have you seen any youth that they love something in the dunya so much it compromises on their religion? Religion might tell them to do something else, but they love something. They're like, because they want to focus on that. So for example, is that maybe, you know, they were supposed to be modest, but guess what now, like Sister Ahlam says, they started, you know, a lot of makeup, a lot of, you know, attention from guys, maybe on social media, when they know their deen is probably not telling them to do some certain things like that, but they love that dunya. They love that attention that this worldly things are giving them. So they kind of compromise on maybe what more to be more modest, if you will. That was like the last example. Did you want to add anything?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Welcome, Salam. Who is...
Oh. One of the Mukhlises.
Hassan?
That could be, you know.
Hassan, oh my God, we have too much Mukhlises in one Zoom box right there. Okay, go ahead, Fadal.
I think the only thing I was going to say is, I think back in high school, for guys, it okay. was...
Back in high school, that 1974, what year was that?
I can't even tell you how long ago it was.
Okay, go ahead.
But I think that similar to what like some of the sisters feel, I think guys had a similar problem with, I think, like clothing. Like I think it was easier. I think it's easier for guys to get away with, wearing shorter shorts or no shirt, belly button, all that stuff when you're doing like sports and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like very easily compromised. You know, I think girls get a lot of heat for it if like, you know, they're wearing like a little bit looser shirt and their like sleeves are showing or something, and guys are walking around, you know, no shirt on, short shorts, and no one says anything. So I think that you know, there's a lot back in the days that guys would be doing with the
right. Yeah, that's why I definitely made a lot of time to bless our sister to make it easy for them. I don't know if they have much more to cover, and so I think naturally they get much more criticism in that sense. And and it could feel unfair at the time, but you know, subhanAllah, may Allah, you guys will get more reward, especially in our society where, of course, women reveal much more and they get much more attention. It could be a fake attention, obviously, and then for our Muslim sisters to cover up, and especially that's a lot. That's a big thing just to do. You know, that's a big stance that you're making, especially in our society. So yeah, that's definitely something. There's maybe a little double standard that's there. So yeah, good job, alhamdulillah. We appreciate you dropping in and putting a comment there. So one thing I wanted to add also to this thing is that, you know, that killing young kid, that still kind of like doesn't fit well with a lot of people. But one thing is that, like I said, it's not, you don't go and kill any kid, right? This is something very special. This one incident here, But and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that he's going to give them another child. It wasn't that he just took away the child. That will be much more righteous for them. And one thing is that the Prophet said that, you know, anytime there is a child that ends up dying, right? That one thing is that this will be a reward for the parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house, a palace for them in Jannah for the patients that they bear after losing a child. And so that's not something easy. May Allah subhanahu bless all the parents out there who have lost children in their young age. We all, I have a 2- and 4-year-old, and I know that'd be subhanAllah something that'd be a great, great test. And may Allah subhanahu protect them and all their children. But that's definitely a test here. The last thing, we have like 5 minutes left here, is the erecting of the wall. And so Khidr said, I was erecting that wall up because tahtahu, but below it are treasures, the gold and silver, for some orphans, that their dad, he was righteous. He was righteous. And so he left this for his children. Of course, he passed away. Orphans mean that the child doesn't have any father alive. And so that this was going to be a gift for them or their inheritance. So when they get older, that they could use that. And so here, Khidr wants to resurrect this, erect this wall up nice and straight. So if it falls over, then everyone will find all this treasure. And you guys remember, the city wouldn't even give them any water or anything to drink. So they're very stingy. So if they find some gold and silver on the ground, guess what? They're not going to say, I wonder whose money is this. Maybe we could give it back to the righteous owner. No. They're going to take that and they're going to run with it. And so what happened? These orphans will not have their wealth later on. So he kept this wall upright, so it will stay up, and later on, word might be given to them that, you know what, your dad at one time left this wealth for you under this wall. Go find it now that you're older, right? And you need this now for your college or for your car or for your school, whatever you need it for, you will find it there. And so here, if you look at the wording here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because their father was righteous. And so here's, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding the children because of righteous parents. And I don't know if there's some parents out there watching this, but one thing is that when you're a righteous parent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take care of your children, even when you're gone, right? Even when you're gone, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still protecting the child and their wealth, even though the dad has passed away a long time ago. And one thing here, if you think about it, putting this wall up and there's treasure underneath it, how long will it take for orphans, let's say they're 7, 6 years old, to get old enough where they could use that money? How long? Year, 2 years, probably 10, maybe even 15, right? Maybe let's say 8 or 10 years, right? When they're 19, maybe when they're 20 years old, when they need that money. So here's the great lesson, my dear brothers and sisters, that something could happen to me and you. And the wisdom of why that happened will not become apparent until like 10 years later. Oh, now I know why I went to that college and not that college. Now I know why I remember that car accident when I was back in my teens. Yeah, like subhanAllah, I understand why that happened. Oh, now I know why this and that X and Y happened, if you will. Sometimes it won't be as apparent as when the people in the boat, when they got the hole in the boat, the king was coming, you know, and then they found like, oh, this hole is actually a great thing. They found it immediately, right? Maybe a week or 2 weeks or a couple of days later. But here, that wisdom of why it happened, why we resurrected, why we put in this wall up for, right, erecting up this wall for, that is not going to, they're not going to know until like 10, 15 years later. We're like, oh, that's why Khidr did that. And I remember he came and put that wall. Oh, wow. But see, you know what? And guess what? Khidr, a Muslim, might not even be alive at that time to see that. And that's why some things that might happen to me and you, my dear brothers, and the benefit of that will not be, it might show for us 10 years later, for a long time later, or it might show when we're not even alive. Our children, our brother, our sister, our parents, if they're still alive, right? Our good friend that we have, now they benefit from that, what happened 10 years ago, right? When you dropped that money in the donation box, when you helped someone that was in need, when you picked up your friend from the airport when he needed a ride, right? Or took him this, or took him that person there, or dropped this person off to the MYG program, right, etc. So then here, one of the lessons here, my dear brothers and sisters, is that the wisdom of why certain things might not be apparent for X amount of years. And the whole lesson of this whole thing, what we're going to end on, is that this whole story about Khidr and Musa, there's so much things to actually talk about, we're running out of time, is that Khidr kind of represents the trials in our life, right? We see holes in boats. We see people dying in front of us. We see people doing things we don't know why they're doing it for. And Musa really represents us, right? Just have sabr. That's what, and that's the thing. That's what Khidr tells them. You're not going to have patience because you're going to see things you're not going to understand. All you have to do is have sabr. Don't ask, right? In this world, when something happens, we don't have Khidr here, Khidr. Did Allah tell you why this happened, right? Why coronavirus happening for? Why can't we go in our masjid? Like, this is Ramadan. This is the best thing in the world is to be in our masjids in Ramadan. Why won't Allah like let us happen? Like, could you talk to Allah? Can you find something out? We don't have Khidr here for us right now, today, or a prophet to tell us the reason why. We just have to be like who? Musa, alayhi salam. Just sabr. Just patience. Be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Maybe in a couple of weeks we'll find out, right? Just like the people of the boat. Maybe 10 years later we'll find out. Oh yeah, remember that 10 years later when we had the coronavirus and we couldn't go in the masjid and we're doing all these Zoom programs. Remember all that, how weird that was, right? And Sheikh Shai was behind this like backdrop with all these books and we kept on making comments about that, right, et cetera. And so they were like, oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, we learned so many things during that time, right, et cetera. But here, that might not be apparent here. We just have to be like Musa alayhi salam and have patience. And just like Khidr said, you're not going to have patience. It's going to be tough. And that's like the trials in this world, dear, my dear brothers and sisters. You might have people that's really close to you. Maybe a parent, maybe a brother, maybe a sister, uncle, aunt that you love very much that might pass away. Like, why? Or you might get not get in a college of your dreams, right? Right? You might not get that car that you always want, right? You might not get to do many things that you might want that might be prevented for you. But always believe 100,000% Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan for that. That didn't happen by chance or some, glitch in the matrix, right? No. It's all has a plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the director. He's the one that's planning it out. So I'd rather have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plan it out than anyone else. Allah is al-Hakim, the most wise. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planning it out, then we're all in good hands. Alhamdulillah. Doesn't matter. Coronavirus, we're stuck in a hole, rain, sleet, snow, doesn't really matter. Stuck online, alone on an island, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're in control. This is your world. This is the dunya you created. You're controlling it. Alhamdulillah, my job is just to worship you. Right? Inshallah, you'll take the rest. I just keep on trying to make things better. And inshallah, you provide the rest. And that's the thing we have to have, my dear brothers. This is of patience, especially the time that we're going on right now with this whole coronavirus and a lot of questions. Why is it happening? And many other things that might happen in your life. So like I said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with sabr. During the trials in our life, right, the things that we go through and many things that, you know, we'll see that we won't understand the reason for it, but know that's happened for a good reason. And you ask Allah, Allah, please keep my iman strong. I keep my patience in you, right, Ya Rab, as I'm going through this. Make it easy for me, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So I want to see, did anyone ever get the question about Yusha? If he, who is
his grandfather?
Yeah.
Yeah, Khulud said Ibrahim, I believe.
Someone said Ibrahim, no.
Or Israel, I don't know.
Israel, no, Yaqub, no. No one got it. So, no, that's a hard question. That's very hard, honestly. His grandfather is Yusuf, alayhi salam. The famous Yusuf, alayhi salam, right? Yusuf, alayhi salam, had a son. Has a very strange name, so it's very hard to pronounce. But anyhow, then Yusha comes from that lineage, if you will. As I mentioned in some of the tafsir books, Allahu Alam, Yani. And so one thing is that, you know, alhamdulillah, it's good to know all this stuff is connected. Hopefully you got caffeinated tonight, being an all-star in this surah and doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. It's a tadabbur. It's a ponder on the verse of the Quran, extract the lessons and implement it in our life. And that is actually the true nature of why this book was sent down for us. Right, is to give us hidayah, to give us a guidance, especially at times that we need. This is an amazing story about Khidr and Musa alayhi salam. Always keep on reading it. It'll help you out throughout your life, inshallah ta'ala, to know the reason why certain things happen that can be very confusing to us. And so how we can get down, but never question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where we actually complain, oh Allah, why did you do that, right? Why is this happening? It's natural. You might say that on the inside, right? And that's even human, right? It might come out, right? But we always know, like, we're always content for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. And this is one of the benefits of having iman and faith. But if you didn't have iman and faith, a belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what else are you thinking about these days right now, coronavirus, right? You can't say, oh, God's doing this for some reason. You're just saying, you don't know how, what else are you going to say, right? And so alhamdulillah, we're sound, we are grounded in faith and iman in the creator of everything, right? The coronavirus, the creator of the world, right? And alhamdulillah, it's one of the best gifts that we can have in these beautiful, in our life, and of course, in these beautiful days of Ramadan. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Inshallah ta'ala, we have two more sessions left. We have a really great story next week about Dhul Qarnain, and we're going to be talking about some of the signs of the Day of Judgment that plays into the story of Dhul Qarnain. And so definitely stay tuned next week. And tomorrow, you guys all heard, is our virtual fundraiser. And so please log in on YouTube. I think it's happening around 6 o'clock or 6:30-ish or something like this.
5:30, Shay.
5:30, of course, 5:30. And so you don't have to drive, you know, you don't have to, you can't be late, you know. So 5:30, inshallah ta'ala. Of course, Sheikh Sahib Webb and other people is going to be there. There you go, right on time, right on your screen. And so, and also we have the Youth Qiyam tomorrow night, also with Sheikh Sahib Webb and a plethora of other speakers all there, and their time is all there when they'll be speaking. And that's going to be a great thing. It's not a Qiyam program, I should say it's a night program, right? Where you could definitely benefit from. And we have a bunch of gifts that we're going to be giving out for the youth, inshallah ta'ala. We all know we're struggling. You know, Ramadan, this is different. We're not in our masjids. We don't have our, you know, out there for our PM programs like we usually have at ISOC. So at least we'll do something to, inshallah, you guys could all still benefit while you're at home. At the end, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya kareem ya rabbil alameen, to send your peace and blessing on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to give us patience for the trials and tests that we encounter in our life. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the Shafi. You're the one that give cure. We ask you to give a cure for those who have been struck with the coronavirus, and protect us from us, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us return back to our masajid, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us respect it and help us treat it in the way that's pleasing to you, Ya Rahman Ya Rahim. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless all the youth out there in our MYG youth group and our fundraiser and our program tomorrow and our Qiyam program, Ya Kareem Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. Wassalamu ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. Inshallah, we'll see you next Friday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.